Our Heavenly Father, we're very grateful that you are here in our presence, here in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we're grateful, Lord, that you came for one reason, to confirm our faith, giving us the perfect faith that was never at any time in this earth, we don't believe it ever was, for a people who will take no other seed and take nothing else but your word, and then stand here, Lord, not to condemn people, but being apart from them, and all is condemned by what you have done in a people, Lord. We didn't ask for it. We do not say that we deserve it, but, Father, we are grateful that we believe today we're a part of that little group, that somehow we are those predestinated ones, the children of God. So we thank you, therefore, Lord, that you have taken the special pains upon yourself to confirm our faith, to reveal yourself, to bring us a message this hour, to put your church in order, to raise the dead, to take a people away, and then bring them back for millennium. Our hearts are settled, Lord, that this is the truth, and we're grateful for it. We cannot thank you enough, but we do thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Now, we're sort of continuing number 12 of Jezebel religion, but actually, I'm just going to take a little sentence that Brother Branham interjected there or spoke concerning this sermon of his on Jezebel religion when he made the statement about man making laws for man, or man made laws for man. Now, Brother Branham said then, concerning this Laodicean church age, which we are in, which is the birthing age of Jezebel religion, that we are in this time where man is making laws for man, which gives you an idea then that this is the ultimate of man, his 6,000 year, and he is trying to actually put himself in the driver's seat, to put himself in the superior position which was granted to him, but he lost. And so man is making these laws for men. Therefore, we can understand they're actually putting aside the word of Almighty God. And since Brother Branham used this little phrase in this message on Jezebel religion, we know that he's speaking concerning religion and worship more than he's speaking of anything else. Though you understand at the end time, this statement can be taken past religion and worship and into the civic and into the political. So I take when Brother Branham made this statement about this age and religion, man making laws for man, he's referring to Scripture such as we find in the book of Romans, verses 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold down the truth in unrighteousness. The word there means to hold down, to actually don't let it come to the people. Well, then something else is going to come to the people. Then in verse 25, the same chapter, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Now remember, back in this particular time, you may have forgotten, but they had God worship in emperors. And this is one reason that a Herod, I guess it was, fell down eating the worms because he made a great oration. And they said, it is the voice of a God. And when he took the honor and the glory, God smote him, and he died of that particular plague. So you're looking here not specifically at a golden calf, which is a golden calf scheme, as Brother Branham indicated, but you're looking at the fact of a man now has exalted himself to the place of God, and therefore he will speak in this age with the authority as though he were God. See, that's what you're looking at here. Then in verse 28, you go down, it says, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient. So what you see, them slipping away from a true worship into animalism, And you know, the fundamentalists are very upset over what they call humanism today and the New Age. Well, hey, I'm going to tell you, they are going to be shortly really upset when they find that they are caught in what we are talking about. It is a matter of the pot calling the kettle black, and both of them have been completely sudded up, blackened up by the same fire which they've gathered around. Now let's go back to the book of Jude, which is over here, just before the book of Revelation. And notice verses 3 and 4. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once for all delivered unto the saints. Now the word once delivered means once and for all delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. In other words, they're not in any book of life or Lamb's book of life as though they're an important part of it, but you notice it said it was written concerning them that they would be here. Ungodly men, turning the grace of our Lord God into lasciviousness, and even denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ, which literally means there again, saying no. Now, to say no to God, there must be some evidence that there is God. So this man here, Jude, starting back with Jesus, he being the all the prophets combined, all the word, he being God manifest in human flesh, laid out the truth, then the Holy Spirit coming, confirming and bringing to their memories what Jesus had said. People have come in and they've turned the word of God to the extent that there even becomes lasciviousness. In other words, that lascivious, that word means, it usually is associated with filthy sexual acts and bestiality. Now look, you already have some of that in the churches, and it is already qualifiedly admitted that it can go on. Well, what do you think is going to happen shortly? You've seen this going on. Okay, let's go to 1 John, the 4th chapter, and verses 5 and 6. And you'll notice here, they are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, he that knoweth God heareth us, he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now here you have truth and error alongside, and absolutely the determination of what the spirit is depends upon what word is spoken. Now, how is anybody going to say, now just a minute, I got the truth and you don't have it? Now today, with Brother Branham and the judge, because that is the judge. Now listen, that's the appearing as the judge. Now when he comes back in the literal coming in Revelation 19, he is not the judge, he is the king. Yes, the king, the great executioner. There's a difference in the role, but it's the same one. You're looking at the coming down the road of the incarnation. All right, now, what I'm saying is then, John must have had a vindication. Or he must have been privy to it. And he was privy to it on the grounds that Jesus did exactly what was spoken of him to confirm him as the Messiah. And then when he foretold his death and resurrection, John was privy to it because he saw him upward of 40 days. And Jesus continued to do the things that he did before his resurrection, explaining the things of the kingdom. And he said, now listen here, there are two words in the world today, and one is wrong and one is right. And he said, he that heareth me is right. Oh, you know, that goes over just like a lead balloon. You understand what I'm saying? This is what Brother Branham hammered and hammered. People will not listen to a man. Say, well, he's just a man. He's just a man. He's just a man. And bless God, I'm just as good. In fact, if the truth were known, I'm a little bitter. Because one guy said, all men are born equal, but some are more equal than others. And you know who's more equal? That's me. Yes, I don't just have, pepperoni on my On my pizza, I have anchovies. Oh, yeah. You, always man goes that way. He can't help himself. The Bible warns about comparisons. Because comparisons always brings innuendo and pride. But John says, you listen to me. Let's go back to Matthew where it all came from. And see what Jesus says about this. Because we're dealing with man's word in religion and how it's going to come into the whole arena of the whole universe. We'll deal with that in a little bit. Okay, Matthew 15. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why did thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said to them, why do you also transgress the commandments of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother. He that curses father and mother, let him die to death. That's true. But ye say, whosoever saith his father and mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me. In other words, he said, look, hey, when I do this thing that I know is wrong, look at the end results. So therefore, the means justifies the end, or the end rather justifies the means. Like that woman that Kerkorian gave the lethal dose to. He didn't give the dose. He put her in a position where she could release the lethal doses. Now, there's no law in Michigan evidently says that you can't help a person commit suicide. Euthanasia. Now, the point is, was it right? Well, she was so happy to die because she's evidently one of these horsey kind of women that have go, 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 go. You know, whether it's a camel, or watch, or jet plane, she was the go-go type. And if she simply couldn't have her way, suffering was out. Maybe she'd learn something in her suffering, because you cannot learn without suffering. That's in the original Greek. Experience is something you pay dearly for. And some of us pay over and over and over again, or we get in the habit of being fools. They say, well, the end justifies the means. The woman is not then in the state of Alzheimer's. How did they positively know she had it? And Alzheimer's a killer. She wouldn't have died, she'd stayed too long anyways. Mostly senility to get the people out there like a mushroom or a frozen squash or something. Vegetating. So you cannot say, hey, she got out of her misery. She got out of her pain. I'm sorry for the woman, but I believe she did wrong. Not that she's going to go to hell for it. You got no scripture for that. But I'm going to tell you what, this world always wants the easy way out. We've tried to give it. Now we're going to get the hard way. See, that's the whole trouble. Now let's keep reading. They said, okay, the end justifies the mean. You hypocrites, verse 7. Well, did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Now, how was their heart far from God? They turned down the word. Oh, God, can't you people see what I've screamed about, Brother Brown, screamed about? And I've screamed longer than he has. I've been 25 years screaming it. How many years did he have? Not the number of years that I got behind me. I can tell you that right now. I'm not putting myself ahead of the prophet. Don't everybody think that. But I've got a right to bellyache and complain. When are people going to accept the word that Eve stood behind? And as long as she was there, she was saved. But the minute she left, you say, you mean to tell me just leaving that word's everything? That's exactly what the Bible says. Amen. Well, just one weensy teensy word. Well, Brother Bill, you want my motives. Okay, stupid jerk, spiritually speaking, what are your motives in leaving the word? I look you in the eye. Well, that grabs you by the short hair in the back of the neck. Ooh, that hurts. Yeah. What was your motive? Oh, you know, the Word of God is just too big for us little peanuts down here. In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. You might as well be on the golf course. At least you get some exercise. Yeah. That's one thing where the Catholics got it over the Protestants. They got about a 5 o'clock mass you can go to. Poor old priest got to get up there. And then when you get finished, you can go on back to bed, or you can go and play around the golf. Then you can go to big brunch and drink beer and eat pretzels and all kinds of things. Home and snore. It'll be a great Sunday, wouldn't it, man? Protestants are stupider. They get up later in the day. They could have had a full day by getting up early. Didn't do the Catholics or Protestants one bit of good. In fact, they are in debt. It did them harm, because we've shown by Scripture you can go to church and you can leave there in worse shape than you came. We had a couple not too long ago come in here, and they couldn't listen to the message. I'm going to tell you, they left in worse shape than they came, because now they're condemned. They couldn't listen to the Word of God, the bastard organization. Because their God is organized with his stupid black hats. It's okay to go to private school and put on little smocks and things, because that's secular. But you come to church and think you got something, because you wear certain kind of clothes. Now, there's a certain kind of clothes you better not wear. You think you got somebody because you put your boots on or some stupid thing. Where do you get God in that? If I bristle, that's my business. And he called the multitude and said, hear and understand. Not that which goes to the mouth defiles a man, but that which comes out of the mouth defiles a man, and so on. And he said, leave them alone. Blind leaders the blind. They all fall in the ditch. Now let's go to Colossians. The second chapter. And we read verses 1 to 8. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you. Now here's the great conflict. And for them at Laodicea. Ha ha! Laodicea. So, we're going to get a little insight to our age right now. Paul's great burden. And it will correspond with John's, who was the revelator, who was the scribe who wrote what he saw. And as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding. Now listen, that's what the Laodicean church says. We're rich. We're full. We don't need anything. And they were not simply talking about their pocketbooks. They were talking about this. They thought they had it. Knit together in love. Hallelujah. Everybody talk about Jesus. Oh, my. We love each other. Oh, yes. Marriage is all right. And divorce is all right. And adultery is all right. And homosexual is all right. Everything. Oh, you are. We just have love. Come on. I'm reading the Bible. They didn't have it then. They don't have it now. To the acknowledge, assurance of understanding. To the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and the Father and of Christ. There sounds like a Trinity, and they're Trinitarians, and they don't have an understanding of one God. They have some kind of a stupid idea of a fountain where the Son becomes his God knows what. There he becomes his own Father somehow. In whom are hid all the treasures, knowledge, and wisdom. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. Now watch right here. This age that started out, Paul letting them know that this was to be their status. This is where you are supposed to be. And according to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 through 17, this is where we are. Completely vindicated by Hebrews chapter 6. Coming to the place of the fullness of knowledge, the complete revelation of Almighty God by vindication. Now he said, this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. Though I be absent in the flesh, yet I'm with you in spirit, joining and beholding your order, and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Now notice they had church order. As ye have received therefore Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and building up in Him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Listen, your teaching is where you are to abound with thanksgiving because you have the Word. Bless God, I got healed. You are an adulterous woman. A streetwalker can walk into a building and get healed. I saw people in Brother Branham's meeting walking off the street. They sat there. They didn't know split beans from mother milk. They didn't know God from the devil. As Brother Branham said, an Egyptian, a hot top, didn't know anything about an Egyptian night. They stood there. Brother Branham come calling right out of the audience. They could get healed, not know one thing about it, go down that street. Now where's your gifts and everything else? They turned down the Word. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after tradition of men, after root of the world, and not after Jesus Christ. Now compare that, as I said, with Ephesians, the first chapter, 15, which we read many times. Let's go to 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of Him, the eyes of understanding be enlightened, and right down the line. Now listen. They already had this in Laodicea. This is where the first church started. But they didn't have this in Ephesians. What they had in Colossians 2 was not the same what they were going to get back in the end time, which would culminate in a rapture. In other words, there had to be a repeat of Ephesus with the completion of what God had set in mind for them. So, when I hear Brother Branham say, man's laws made for man, by man for men, and I see talk about Jezebel religion, and I see him bringing to the world arena, I know right away he is talking about religion, he is talking about worship. He is talking about people daring to congregate themselves together as men and implying that they have God as their head. Now that's what Paul said here in Colossians. Rooted and grounded up in Him. And He being the head. Now, since Brother Branham made the statement of laws made by man for man in Jezebel religion, we can see the alpha of this in 2 Corinthians, which we read many times, verses 4, 1 to 11, where he said, I espoused you to Christ as a virgin, but I have been convinced that you have defiled yourself, that your minds have been taken over by the enemy. Now, the alpha of 2 Corinthians 11, 1 to 4, and the completely warped and twisted omega in Laodicea is Revelations, the third chapter, already quoting it, verse 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, and blind, and naked. In other words, they are speaking of the spiritual verities of the Word. Twist this all you want. Take it back to Colossians. You understand what I'm saying? It's right there laid out in Colossians. Now this is what the end time church says. We have got what is in Colossians. They don't have it. They were warned that they could change the Word of God for the vain philosophies, traditions of men and be completely worldly. No more God than nothing. Except using a name of which they are completely unfamiliar because the name of God is the revealed Word. That's why you got all these Muslims say, Allah, Allah, God, Allah Akbar Bungo something. Oh, God's a great God. He's going to do so and so. And all you got to do is kill somebody. Kill a Gentile, kill somebody, a Jew, and you got paradise. There's a goofball here right in Dayton. He's pictured in the front paper, and he's a Muslim. And he says his son's over there in the war, and he might kill his brother Muslim. And he said, they're both competing for paradise. They want to kill each other. He doesn't know he's an absolute idolatry, though he names the name of God.
No, I know we're cracked. That's one reason we don't take money from
service anybody outside of our church here because they can't come back and say, you didn't treat us right. No way, shape, form. I'll pay myself. Because we stand alone. We are unique. We are different. And we are rotten. I ain't moving from this word. The world doesn't like us. The world hates us. The devil's got our number. Don't worry. But we got God's protection. We got the devil's number too. Now listen. We go with this verse of scripture that I just read. Wretched, miserable, naked, blind. Now listen. They're saying that we're increased in goods. Don't need a thing. We've got this full assurance. We're right back in Ephesus. The first age, we have the understanding, no problem. Now, verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come to him and sup with him and me. The voice of God, which is his word, is not in the church. It's outside. They kicked it out. Now, here is the complete or the composite called Jezebel religion. Here's the composite. And you want to look at it. This church that doesn't have it, claims it's got it, right back here again in Colossians, the second chapter, I have great conflict for you and for those in Laodicea, the last church age. The Colossian church is not in the church ages. So this is primarily, though to the Colossians, it absolutely is indicative concerning the Laodiceans. Now what does he say in verse 8? After all of this, beware lest any man spoil you. No, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. So therefore, there is a complete separation liable to the Laodiceans, huh, right, in the first church age, which ends in the last church age, where they now have this condition. No more Christ. He's outside the church. And what does it? It tells you they have been spoiled through philosophy, deceit, tradition, and rudimentary, mechanical, scientific thinking in their seminaries and their churches. As Brother Branham said, in Satan's Eden. So therefore now what we have here is the composite called Jezebel religion. That's what it's called. And notice Jezebel religion is not the pure word of God, but a compound of entirely man's word, though he starts off with the true revelation. Because this is what is said here. Now I want to clue you in even before my time comes to tell you. Eve was a child of God, though not in the original creation. See, she was not a child of disobedience. She was a disobedient child. She had that word. But by leaving one word, she interbred with the beast, the serpent, which brought the child, the second generation, which was Cain. Now that's how the church falls. It takes one word. And who comes heir to that word? The children. See? Cain. Came from it. That's how you get the bride falling. In Paul's day, that original bride could have made it had there been a rapture at that point. But there wasn't. And the ungodly people crept in. And it was what? That mingling of the word that brought forth the second generation. Is even duplicitous. He said, God has no grandchildren. Sorry, Colossians 2 and 8. There were four things. Philosophy, vain deceit, which was a lie. The tradition of men, and that which is based upon human government. In other words, you observe civics, and then you take and join it with biology, and you come up with a philosophy. Now, as we look at this subject, we will not be remiss to look at the two lines of descriptive scripture concerning Now, starting at the way back there, coming up today, until the Word of God is out, and it's nothing but the Word of man. Because man has made God's Word his own and done what he wants with it. Now, that's what Satan did. He came to Eve. Now, remember, there can be a spirit in this building here of murder. There can be a spirit here of lying in this building. But unless one of you or I give way to it, that spirit can do nothing. So Satan, he can plant a word, but that word can be in this building, but until somebody believes it, doesn't make one bit of difference. See? So that's what you're looking at here. Understand what we're saying. Okay, we go to chapter 4 of the book of Revelation, and you read verses 1 to 11, and this is the scene in heaven. He's caught up to the throne, and one sitting on the throne, and in verse 3, like a jasper and sardine stone, a rainbow around the throne, in sight like an emerald. And then around the throne there are 24 elders, the lamps burning, the 7 spirits of God. And then in the verse 6, in the midst of the throne, there are 4 beasts, full of eyes before and behind. And verse 7 that tells the first beast was like a lion, the second like a calf, the third like a face of man, and the fourth like a flying eagle. And they're all worshiping God, so you can see these elders, and these beasts are part of the kingdom of God, and they're perfectly wonderful. Everything is fine. They're there, and they're going to be there forever. They're part of the kingdom. Okay, then you turn to the book of Revelation, the 6th chapter, and you see the opening of the seals. And when you see the first seal open, there's 4 beasts. And behold, a white horse, and he had a bow, and a crown was given him. He went forth carnal copper. And the second seal opened, there was a beast, and he was on a red horse, and he took peace from the earth. And then there was a third opening of the seal, which was a black horse, and he had a pair of balances, and he was evidently doling out, making merchandise of the gospel, and he went so far as he was now condemning the souls of men. And in the 7th verse, you find a 4th beast, and he was a brindle horse. They call him pale, but the word in the Greek is brindle, which means all 3 are poured into one. And you'll notice him that sat on him, his name was death, and hell followed with him. So here then, we find 2 parallel scriptures running side by side. So, okay, in Revelation 4, 1-3, which is also chapter 5, verse 1, the one sitting upon the throne, and also in chapter 4, verses 2-8, which we read concerning those 4 beasts. And they're identified with the God of heaven and the heaven itself. They're absolutely identified there. And in chapter 6, we read verses 1-8. And what we saw there was that last animal summing the whole thing up, and in death sat upon, was death now leading everybody, and hell was in its wake, meaning the whole thing is going to be buried and it's going to be covered over now. With that, you go to Revelation chapter 20, and verses 11 to 14, and it tells you there's a great white throne, him that sat in it, from whose face the heaven and earth fled away, no place found. And I saw the dead small and great stand before God, the books open, and so on. Now verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. Now watch, 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. All right, you understand that. So, all right, now, in Revelation chapter 6, which we read along with Revelation 20:11-14, there is someone here who is also identified with 4 creatures and ends up in the lake of fire and identified entirely with Satan and his destruction of himself, his people, and his kingdom, according to Revelation 20:14. So, you see 2 parallels of Scripture, you see two sets of 4 beasts. And you've got one in the kingdom of God, you've got one in the kingdom of Satan. Now, all right. Ends up in destruction, one ends up in glory. Now, according to Revelation 6:1-2, and in there we see a white horse, and he that sat on had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now, I find this to be over in 1 John, the 2nd chapter, verses 18-26, if you want to read that much. Now, little children, it's the last time, and ye have heard that Antichrist shall come. Even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know it's the last time. In other words, this age is it. This is a scenario that is set. The 2 parallel lines of Scripture, the 2 vines, the 2 spirits, the twins, everything is lined up here. Now he said there's the spirit of truth, the spirit of error. And he said, there's the Spirit of God, and there's many spirits out there, and they're Antichrist. Now notice what he does. He identifies the people with the Spirit. Now watch it. Little children, it is the last time. And as you've heard Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. If they had been of us, they no doubt would have continued, but they went with us, but they went out. That it might be made manifest, they were not all of us. In other words, we weren't, every one of us didn't have this truth. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denies Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denies the Father and the Son. Whosoever denies the Son, the same hath not the Father. Let that therefore abide in you which you heard in the beginning. If that which you have heard in the beginning shall remain in you, you shall also continue in the Son and in the Father. Now what was from the beginning? The beginning is what came down, was manifest in flesh, was handled and heard, and they passed on that revelation, which was once for all delivered to the saints. And how was it delivered? Jude was not with Paul. He was at Pentecost. It was delivered in the personal presence of Jesus Christ himself in human form. And the signs followed after Pentecost. And Paul came on the scene. And in the form of a pillar of the Holy Spirit, in a pillar of fire, he came to Paul and said, I am Jesus. And laid it on the line. So you can see, there is an original vindicated word by God himself and by nobody else. Now that's where we stand, is on vindication. I don't have to stand faced with God as a prophet. I stand faced with God by his word. And if I accept that word and stand behind it in my faith, though no man has ever lived that word outside of Jesus Christ, then you stand secure in the grace of Almighty God, because grace and truth come by Jesus Christ. See, you don't stand any other way. There's no other way given you. Now he said, I write unto you concerning them that seduce you. I written. Now what is their seduction? Their seduction is by turning the word. Oh yeah, I know that he was a great man. Oh yeah, I know he could have filled scripture, but. Oh yeah, Brother Branham had a great ministry, but. Oh yeah, Elijah was a great man, but. Oh yeah, Isaiah was a great man, but. Yeah, one fellow said it's the goat that does all the butting, and the goat is, well, you're not called a sheep when you're called a goat, put it that way. Now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Now, it tells you right there the appearing, the actual appearing, the actual presence. Now, what does that mean? To be ashamed means positively that you've got to stand there with your hat in your hand and him outside the church, and you're boasting that he's inside the church and he's one with you and you're one with him, and you're a liar. Lying right in the face of Almighty God. Don't tell me that's not in these pictures here. Come on. You listen, folks. You believe anything you want. I know you're believing with me. God bless you for that. That's why there's a good spirit here, because it's based on the word, not some chit-chat. So, this spirit that went forth in Revelation verses, chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, was the liar. That's what he did in the Garden of Eden. He lied. He changed God's word, because Satan doesn't have any word except God's word. You don't have any word except God's word, because everything is here made by the word of God and sustained by the word of God. Where would you begin to think you got something from anywhere else? But the world turns it down. Now he's outside of the church. His voice is absolutely outside of the church. There's no way it's in the church. Now here we see the white horse rider of 1 John 2 and 26 is identical to 2 Corinthians 11, 1 to 4. Now, I read that many times, but let's go back for one particular purpose here. 2 Corinthians 11. Okay. Notice the third verse. But I fear lest by any means as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. It is not what you do that counts. It is what you believe that counts, because what you believe will predicate what you do. As Brother Branham said, smoking and drinking and adultery are not sins. They are the evidence or the results of unbelief, which is sin. Right, you can't deny the way the Bible runs in continuity. Okay. Now, this goes along with Colossians, which I read to you, which is addressed to the Laodiceans. So as you study Colossians, you can see what is for us, what was turned down, but it's ours in the purity. So read it. And it tells you, in Christ our life shall appear. Will appear in glory. That's 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Oh, it just thrills me how the Bible runs together. There's not a slip. There's not a miss. It's fantastic. Okay, the fourth verse of Colossians. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. Now, these words that we've looked at, to beguile, to entice, and seduce, actually are the same word, but in different degrees, as the church falls lower and lower. In 1 John 2 and 6, the word seduce means to cause to roam, or stray from the truth or virtue, like Eve in the garden, one word off. In Colossians 2 and 4, beguile means to fall by reasoning. That started Satan's Eden. But in 2 Corinthians, the 3rd verse, chapter 11, it is total or whole seduction, or taken over completely in deception of and by the devil, and thus her thinking, her reasonings, her conclusions are the will of Satan in her, and she is his church, his follower and worshiper, with another Jesus, another spirit, and another word, and knoweth it not. That's right, knows it not. Why? Because she claims, hey, I'm rich, increase in goods, I've got the full assurance of faith, hey, I'm at the top, I speak in tongues, watch these ministries, glory to God, we're no longer in a corner, we're not in the slums, we're right in the Vatican, we are everywhere, our influence, our full gospel ministry, hey, hallelujah, I'm glad they invaded the pulpit. Now says the preacher, just look at my lovely church, I can preach to all these nice people, oh, thank God for money, thank God for money, thank God for money. Where did it come from, Nicaea? It's right in Pentecost. Yes. No doubt about it, brother, sister. Let's take a look at the churches. Galatians, the 4th chapter, verse 19, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Now, there's a dangerous period when the revealed word is given and until Christ is formed in you, which Brother Branham, I believe, called the true baptism with the Holy Ghost, piling word upon word until the receptacles, the inlets to the soul, which is the spirit and the mind, so fill the soul, it can now come forth. leading to a transfiguration. I desire to be present with you now to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Tell me you the desire to be under the law. Do you hear the law? For it's written that Abraham had two sons, one by the bondmaid, one by the free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was born by spirit. That's exactly right. It was a lustful inclination that Abraham followed from a lustful wife who wanted to fill God's promises in her own word and her own way, and Abraham fell for it. That's where your Arabs and all your troubles are coming right now. Your Ishmaelites, your Esau, God knows what. And they're not just over there, they're over here in any place else. Because who knows what race you come from anyway? Nobody can tell where you come from anymore. They'll all boast, we came here, well, you're a bunch of idiots. You just try to trace your ancestors, though you really know something. Moscow's got pages of McNeils over there when a man named McNeil went from Scotland at the time of Peter the Great. And everyone's a Ruski. Yeah. And speak Peruski, too. Talking English, they wouldn't know, but the name's McNeil. How much Scotch blood have they got?
A little black and a white Mary. You got what? A mulatto, right? Okay, they marry, and you got another white, and you got a quadroon. She marries another white man, you got an octoroon. She marries another white man, the baby's white. How are you going to trace yourself? Well, I'm Norwegian, I'm Swedish. You might be a Dutchman. You might have been a Hottentot in Africa way back there. Only God's got a record, and he's only recording. Well, he's recording us all, don't worry. But I was going to talk about a genealogy in the book, 144,000 in Israel. The rest of us, we just come under sonship, like, you know what I mean, be born any old way. We're not, but there's a natural and a spiritual. Now listen, these things are an allegory, for these are two covenants. One from Mount Sinai was gendered to bondage as Hagar, and this Hagar's Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answers to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, that's Mount Zion, which is above is free, which is the mother of us, which is our mother, not the mother of us all. Because that's the same as saying that Adam is the father of all. It's not so. Which is our mother, and the mother of us all only in the sense of the children of God. For it's written, rejoice thou, barren that bearest not, break forth and cry, the other travailest not, and so on. So what we're seeing here is that there is a church that absolutely claims itself to be in the genealogy, but it is not. Now, what Satan started in Eden continued to Babylon under Nimrod. And then as God chose Abraham and developed the nation of Israel, Satan worked on Israel until he joined her to idolatry and Jezebel religion. After the captivity, Israel, now listen, was cured of idolatry as far as settling upon one God, Jehovah. They were cured. And they said, we believe in one God that spoke to Moses. We believe in Jehovah. But they lacked true revelation of the word, and by reasoning and refusal of vindication, cast out Messiah and murdered him. So what's all this talk about God? Oh, I pray to God. Well, I like what an old geezer in Canada said. Oh, you do, eh? Well, you say, what do you say? Well, I said, my Father which art in heaven. Well, he said, my Bible tells me that Satan is the prince of the power of the air, and he's in the heavens too. Maybe you're praying to him. So which God are you praying to? You pray to the God of your mother. If I prayed to the God of my mother, I'd end up a Trinitarian in the cesspool. You see what I'm trying to tell you? Israel was not in idolatry per se as concerning one God. But they crucified and killed the Messiah. Which was the fulfillment of God's word to them. Why? Because they turned down vindicated revelation because of their own knowledge and the world system which I mentioned under vain philosophy, which would actually apply to civics. Better a nation live and one man die. That was their philosophy. Right. That's the rudiments of this world. Why don't let's develop a philosophy out here because of the ecology? You got a bunch of jerks running around screaming ecology, ecology. You got a bunch of nuts running around there out there in Hutt Street in San Francisco, and they were those hippies. I got news for these guys. You can send them a buck if you want. I get sucked in now and then and send them a buck. But it's no use. It's over. Saddam turns millions and millions of gallons in the Persian Gulf. He's a hot potato. And he's just like the black man that said, Whitey, I'm going to take you with me. And he's ready to do it. And the world's ready to crush him, too. Let's go to that later on. All right. They cast out Messiah and murdered him. What they're doing today, according to Hebrews 6 and in Revelation chapter 3:20. Thus the fall and casting off of Israel was not a matter of not recognizing the fact of God, even one God, true God, but substituting their reasoning for vindicated revelation, as it says in Matthew 15:1-14, which I read. In vain do you worship me. Even if you do hit upon the right God, it won't do you any good. Because now you're claiming what you aren't. And you're claiming Him who isn't to you. Who is, but not to you. You follow me? Okay, and failing to identify God, and failing to identify with God. Today the church has missed the true Jesus, the true Spirit, and the true Word. I'm rich in Christian goods. God is talking to the church. He said, you're lukewarm, I'm going to throw you out of my mouth like vomit. Now you know the church is not in the mouth of God. It's the word of the church that's vomit to God. You're no longer my mouthpiece. You can no longer speak for me. You're finished. My word's not in you. I'm outside of you. Oh, they said, we're rich, increased in goods. We don't lack a thing. We got the full assurance of faith. Hallelujah. I want to tell you facts. You speak in tongues. Bless you, God. You got it. The Pope speaks in tongues. Bless God. He's got it. And the little Jacqueline, what's her name, Ford, she's a Catholic theologian. She speaks in tongues. Bless you, God. She got it. And she'll tell you flat. Now, you Protestants, watch your stupid little tongues, because our Pope is infallible. Come on. I wasn't born yesterday, kid. I know what's going on in this world. I told you some time back, I just got the right habit of getting the right thing at the right time. I get stuff in the mail, I get it from people. But it's what I need. All right, listen. So Revelation 3:17 to 18, which is the church boasting and God condemning it, is now over here. Let's take it right now. Revelation chapter 6. So you know what we're talking with. And it's verse 7 and 8. And when he'd opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. Come look. And I looked and behold a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death. And hell followed with him. Now who is the death? Who is death? Satan. Satan himself. Because he has the power of death, and just the same as Christ has the power of life, he is identified with life, so Satan is identified with death. Who is this person? He is Satan. It's an actual incarnation. And hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. In other words, all nature is turned upside down, topsy-turvy. Now, Revelation 6, 7, and 8 now becomes Revelation 20, 11 to 15, which I read to you. And what is it? It is the great white throne. I saw a great white throne, him that sat in it. Heaven and earth fled away. Saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books open. And death and hell were delivered, delivered up the dead. And all of them in it. And then death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. Now watch. What I read, to you concerning this was the great white throne. And I read you, because it is. And I read you concerning this man back there was called death and hell followed him. Now, with that, you go to Malachi, the first chapter, and in the fourth chapter, verse 1, and behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, that all the do wickedness shall be stubbled, and that day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, and I'll leave them neither root nor branch. Now that is at the end of the great tribulation, but it says neither root nor branch, which is the lake of fire, which is the white throne. You tell me white throne is not going on now, and I say you're not listening to the prophet William Branham, and you're not hearing Lee Vale, who parrots the prophet, and tells you time and time again, explains to you, don't you look down the road, you are foolish, you are innate spiritually speaking, you look now, and you'll see yourself before the white throne. Now don't fool with the word of God, brother, sister, this is vindicated. I don't care what the world says. Unless you got vindication in your soul, and you got what those apostles had on the day of Pentecost, which we got to get what they had, plus that final revelation that Paul had, where there's no error because some of them went into error. Peter did. Got messed up on circumcision. And Barnabas played along, opening the door. Paul never opened the door to sin. He stood there as that guardian. Now you gotta come to that place where those men were to stand in this last hour. You say, will we do it? Someone's gonna do it. Brother Brand said, if someone's gonna do it, you just believe you're the one. Alright, now a while ago I mentioned four beasts of the solitary rider in Revelation 6. Now it's one rider, that's why I say solitary rider, but four beasts. And the last beast was a pale horse or a brindle horse all poured into one. Notice, the white horse of the lie. Number two, the red horse of war and death. Number three, the black horse of spiritual death. Since war was not so popular, they changed the image, and now they were selling their indulgences and everything they could to make it rich and bring the people under servitude because they sold and dealt in the souls of men. Now, so the fourth point, death. And the second death. So today the Antichrist church is based in lies, number one, two, on murder, three, false doctrine, false promises, and false responsibility. Yes. False responsibility. Because they say, you listen to me, and we will guarantee it. We have the keys to the kingdom. The Protestants are no different. You listen to us, and you're going to make it. They have a false responsibility which they cannot take. What about this guy, Bob Tom, that wrote that dirty book about Brother Branham, mentioned my name also. Said Brother Branham was drunk and everything else. He died. Where is he today? Now you think I'm brutal. If that man is in heaven, I'm not going there. Not that I'm vindictive. The point is this, there's no place. Because then the devil is the one to serve because he's got everything in his power. God's just some little flaky thing out there that has nothing. You understand what I'm saying? So let's get this thing flat. There we are today in a place of decision where you can never change your mind again. And if you're sitting on the fence, that's fine by me. I've got no place to go. The Pentecostal hole I came out of, I'm not interested. You can have it. I'm too old to go back to being a young man and take all the floosies on, speaking tongues and everything else. I've got no respect for him, period. Chaff is chaff. So you do what you want about it. If I'm tough, that's... Oh, I get told people all the time they won't come here because they hear me once and that does it. I got no love. I'll talk to you about love. I've preached many a sermon. I'll show you again. You haven't got a clue to what love is unless you stand with this word, because God is love and He is the Word.
Amen.
If this word doesn't cut you down, if God's sword doesn't draw blood, you ain't got nothing. You're a turnip or you're a stone. Not some chunk of butter. Inanimate subject. Now, so the church. So the Antichrist church today is based on lies, on murder, on false doctrine, false promises, false responsibility, the second death and the white throne. The church has succumbed to complete and total seduction and is going through to the great tribulation and through the tribulation, and then they look to the lake of fire for... The seeds of second death are in her. The seeds of second death are already in her. Now watch. Revelation chapter 22 verse 15. For without her dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. That's those outside of the opening of the seven seals, the seven thunders. The opening of the book. Because it says here, see thou the, not, seal not the sayings of the prophet's book, for the time is at hand. At that time, the tree of life is in complete view, and everything that's not with the tree of life positively is either one of these dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, and so on. Now with that, you go to Revelation chapter 21, and you read in verses 7 and 8. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I'll be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and liars shall have their part in the lake of fire which burns with brimstone, which is the fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That is right now, brother, sister. The judgment has been cast. The judge is here. The judgment is over. We are just now waiting for the execution. Because that's when the books open and said, here it is. They'll start to try and plead. Now, if I am right and we are right as a church, there'll be people that came in here and went out that door. They'll stand right there and hear the thunder of my voice again in that white throne day. Because it's already here. See, there's no time with God. Time has ceased. Eternity and time has blended. That's why you can't look 1,000 years from now any longer. No use, brother, sister. You say, well, that's a fuzzy kind of a period. I never said it wasn't. That's like the Father and the Son and the Son and the Father. Don't ask me, but it's true. Now, just for a minute, let us see the bride under the heavenly government of our God. There we see, in the midst of the throne, three creatures. living creatures, lion, calf, man, eagle. These match the four beasts of the Antichrist. And they are through all the ages, and we see them. The lion, the vindicated word, the calf, the martyrdom, dying for the word, not for their lives. They said to Jesus, said, why do you stone me? What work have I done? Well, look at my good works. Oh, they said, hallelujah, feed the multitude and raise the dead, glory to God, but shut your stinking trap. Paul said, I'm a heretic by reason of how I worship, which was according to revealed word. You see, they died for the word, just the same as Paul did, just the same as Jesus did. Now, the third one was the man. When the living creature has the face of a man, one immediately goes back to Genesis, where the man was told that he was in the image of God, and he was to reign and rule on this earth and take dominion of it. He was the governor for God. This is what man is supposed to be, a ruler as placed by God, not placed by himself now. At one time he was sovereign by virtue of his image and the Spirit of God, image of God and the Spirit of God. Now he must survive nature and rule in a measure by using his intelligence. Man is the smartest of animals. In this age we see Luther, brilliant, dynamic, scholar, and reformer. From him follows a line of great men. And the Philadelphian age is especially prolific with the Puritan doctrine, a tremendous revelation, and the Word of God in the high places and the low places, in the palaces and in the houses of the nobles, the castles. Absolutely, Luther was protected by the armies of barons, or he wouldn't have survived. And you go to the Salvation Army in the lowest dumps. In this age, the face of the man, we have the dynamic flow of the gospel and the richest preaching the world's ever seen. But it had error. You know why it had error? They didn't understand. They didn't mean it. Until you come face to face with the dynamic vindication and revelation, you are simply a person misunderstanding. You're not disobedient. You're not against the Word of God. You simply don't understand. Now, but from that age, that is to say the sixth age, the face of the man, the third face of the beast, comes age number 7, or Laodicea in complete bankruptcy, a Revelation 3:17, rich, increased in goods, but the wretched, naked, and blind. But gratefully, we see the fourth creature. It is the eagle spirit age that comes verse against the pale horse and brings the bride up while the church goes down. Because the church cannot go down with death and into hell and the lake of fire unless the church goes up, because you've got two discriminating conclusions. Now, it depends on where you are is what you are, Kit. If you go to the lake of fire, you never had it. If you don't go to heaven, you never had it. If you don't end up coming back with him, you never were. Now, you could be foolish virgin. I don't think much about that. Now, the pale horse rider goes off to the lake of fire, while the bride goes up into the resurrection, immortality, and the millennium. Now, let's read this about the ego, and it's in the book of Exodus, chapter 19. How much time we got? Oh, good. I'm just going to read fast and get out of here. Okay, Exodus 19, 3-6. That's only so fast I can read. All right, third verse. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called him out of the mountain, saying, thus thou shalt say unto the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar people unto me, above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, and a holy nation. These are the words that thou shalt speak in the children of Israel. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people, and laid before their faces all those words which the Lord commanded him. Now, you will notice in here that he said, I bore you up on eagle's wings. I took you out of Egypt. Now, who took them out of Egypt? A vindicated prophet. Amen. With the presence of God. So what is eagle going to do at the end time? The Holy Spirit in the form of an eagle. A vindicated prophet. The presence of God. Bringing us up out of Babylon. To take us to be a kingdom of priests, as Peter said. A nation unto Almighty God. Let's go to Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter. And in Deuteronomy 32, 9-12. Now, for the Lord's portion is the people, Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land, in the waste howling wilderness, he led him about. He instructed him, he kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreads her wings, taketh them, beareth them up on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. He made Orion the high place of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields. He made him suck honey out of the rock, out of the flinty oil, out of the flinty rock, butter and kine and so on. Now what is he telling you here? He's telling in the concerning God likened himself to an eagle. Now she stirs her nest. That's time for the baby eagles to fly. They got to learn to fly. In other words, this is the step to maturity. Therefore, you are coming into further maturity as God stirs you up, ready to take you up. Now, what's he going to do? Bring you back for further sanctification. A further growth until you are full adult in his presence with Christ in the midst, singing praise unto Almighty God. What's going on now? The eagle. God doing it. This is exactly what we find over here in the book of Malachi. The book of Malachi, fourth chapter again, last book. Watch what it says. Unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness rise with healing in his wings, and you shall go forth and go up as calves of stall, and tread down the wicked, and they shall be ashes under soldier feet. The day that I do this, saith the Lord. Now what's the healing in his wings? Immortality. Immortality. This is the day of the prophet, William Branham. The eagle fulfilling 2 Corinthians, the third chapter, where the minds are lifted from the veils of denomination, the creeds and the words of men, back to the full word of God, which is completely transforming. Wherein lies the promise and the life within the promise to bring the promise to pass in individuals. And I want to tell you something, brother, sister. You don't need to worry about anything out there. You just worry about yourself. I'll tell you why. God had it already for Adam by the time Adam got there. You just worry about Adam. That's what we're looking at. Okay, this is 1 Thessalonians 4:16. And this is 1 Corinthians 15, the putting of the church in order by the word and the message of Almighty God. And this is bringing forth the people of Malachi 3, 16 to 18. And they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. Now the name of God is mentioned here on the grounds that that's a revealed word. So the people fear the word. Eve did not fear the word. She fooled with the word. Satan doesn't fear the word. He fools with the word. The church fools with the word. Then it's no word. One word off of Satan's kingdom. A book of remembrance written for him, before him, for them that feared the Lord and thought upon his name. And they should be mine, saith the Lord. How can you think upon the name of the Lord? The name of the Lord. The name is Jehovah. That's fine. What does Jehovah mean? Well, let's see. Man, what does Emmanuel mean? Well, this is just a Sid Ken. What does that mean? You got to go to word. So how do you think upon the name of the Lord? Word, 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 word. Bind it with your phylacteries. Put it upon your wrists. Put upon little bells your ankles. Word, word, word. Holy, holy, holy. Word, word, word. Holy, holy, holy. Grace and truth. No grace without truth. Don't kid yourself. No way, shape, and form. Now, they'll be mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The day I make up my jewels, and I'll serve them. I'll spare them as a man spares his own son that serves him. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, or righteous and the wickedness. Between him that serves God and him that doesn't. In other words, this is the key to Matthew 24. Who are the false prophets? What are the signs and wonders you put to one side? How do you make out? How do you find to stay behind the word of God? It's been revealed. We have the devil's number. Brother Branham said we got the answer to him. Going back to Brother Branham's statement again, man-made laws for man can only refer to the church becoming her own prophet. As it says in Revelation 3, in 3:17, she said, I'm not rich. She said, I'm rich, increased in goods, and don't lack a thing. And then she refuses Revelation 3:18 that says, repent or change your mind. And she puts Christ on the outside, eliminating verse 19. She won't repent. So the church becomes naked, as in 2 Peter. And I haven't got time to read it. You've got to read it yourself. We read it many times anyway. Even took a whole lot of time on it one time, years back and over there in the Bell Fountain area. But look at it. Second chapter. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there should be false teachers among you, who probably shall bring in damnable heresy, even saying no to the Lord, that bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now it says back there, that these men were false teachers, denied the Lord that bought them. What does it mean, bought them? You're false. Gazebos came with coordinates to Byron. They're the ones that rose up. Then what God, how did God buy them? God bought them by coming down himself and working their deliverance and said, you're mine. Right. It wasn't the blood of Jesus that was shed. It was animal. God delivered them. That's the eagle's wings. Now, they deny, they say no to the one that has bought them in this period. Brother Branham said when Adam sinned and Eve sinned, he could not trust anybody himself, not an archangel, not this, not that. He came down himself. And so in this hour, as God went down to Moses, he didn't only appear in signs and wonders, but himself appeared in Mount Sinai and pillar fire. So today we got his picture. So what we're talking about. Now, it says that many people are going to believe, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. That's why Saddam's over there right now. And those guys. And through covenants, with feigned words, make merchandise of you, with judgment, so on. And right on down at the end here, it'll tell you, but these as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of things that they understand not, and shall only perish in their own corruption. Is this referring to the book of Revelation, where it tells you the last time that all these plagues come upon the earth, and the wild beasts? Oh yeah, these are the wild beasts. You can control animals, come on. Maybe not bed bugs and things because they're too hard to get it with pesticide. But don't tell me we can't slaughter all the elephants and all the rhinoceros and all the caribou and all the this and all the that, the lions and tigers and everything else. Don't tell me we can't do it because we can. We don't have to kill them. We just let them naturally die off. I think of the brute beast you're talking about right here, the beast, wild beast. Serpent seed. Yep, right down the line. With that, you can go to Isaiah 28, 1 to 18. Tells you about the tables are full of vomit. No one's going to open the book. Which is absolutely... Revelation, we read it, 3:14-16. Yeah, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. You're wretched, miserable, naked, but you say you're Christian goods. Now, the church has now become from 2 Corinthians 11 in her first fornication to the worldwide whore of Revelation 17. You can read it yourself. How? By leaving the word and taking into it all forms of idolatry with Christian names, as in Matthew 24. All the false teachers. And it's not that they're saying we worship the one true God. No, they're saying that, but that doesn't do them a bit of good. Because they end up, because it's of the devil. She also becomes Revelation 18, 1 to 3. Revelation 18, 1 to 3. All right. This is the mighty Babylon has fallen, become the habitation of devils, the hold of every foul spirit, the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. All nations drunk of the wine thereafter fornication. Kings of earth committed fornication with her. What is it? She tells you right here that this Antichrist spirit from Rome and the Pope is going to control the whole world. Now the two mightiest nations in this world have gone to the Pope, Gorbachev and Bush. And these jackasses out here trying to tell you that that you got to watch Israel. That the Zionist movement is the terrible thing. That they're going to run the world. It's socialism. It's this, that. They're a bunch of complete fools and jackasses. Israel going to Rome. What did she do? She fell flat in her face. Gold in my ear came away spitting tacks. Because the Catholics hate the Jews. The Jews ain't nothing compared to the Catholics. All the Jews have got is the paper. Certainly there's a cabal going on. Certainly the Jews are trying to strut their stuff and pull something. But they're not going to succeed. And the whole world is fooled by thinking it's the Jews when it's Rome. Jerusalem sitting on seven hills. Jerusalem has to live off of us. And we're soon going to live off of Rome. All right. Also, she becomes Revelation 18, 1 to 3, 9 to 19. Her great world empire. Because of Nicene Constantine, her prostitution paid off financially when she prostituted herself to Nicaea, at Nicaea, to Constantine. But spiritually, she died and entered the second death. Now, let's see something about Omega. That's the Omega Nicene Council. As Alpha Nicaea wed church and politics, its word became a convenient philosophy of government as the government backed the church. So today in 1948 at the first United Nations meeting under the four freedoms, religion got its strength reinstated by power politics, so the religion is now guaranteed to the people, no matter what their religion is, which means creeds and dogmas now legally enforced take precedence over the revealed and manifested Word of God, and the Word is crucified as it was in 33 AD, and again in 325, and will yet be crucified, and is crucified today in Hebrews 6. Now, I hope you caught what I said. Thus, from 1948, there's been a power struggle for spiritual and religious recognition and dominance that finally took shape to put a Roman Catholic Church as the front runner when the world's greatest nation put a Roman Catholic on the White House throne. America not only built the image of the beast, but took the beast itself. Today, America is over 50% Roman Catholic. If this is presumed debatable, let me ask what religious leader, other than the Pope, has America and Russia and Israel and practically all the world gone to? We say, what about the Dalai Lama? The poor bird came over here begging for an interview. I'm the Dalai Lama. I'm a reincarnation of Buddha. Who do you do it? And he raised him. Will you do something for me? Nothing from nowhere. There's no leader anywhere from anything outside the Pope. Face it. Billy Graham's already kissed his toe. Who controls the vast amount of care packages given to the world? The Roman Catholic Church. Who speaks ex cathedra out of the throne? The Pope claims he does. Who calls himself the Vicar of Christ, which means I'm here instead of Christ, which the word anti means instead of, which means antichrist? Who has declared himself not to be spiritual, but geopolitical and the moral conscience of the world? See? And his moral conscience, according to Revelation 13, if you don't worship him and do his bidding, he will kill you, he'll flatten you, he'll destroy you, and nobody can make war with him. Who is Revelation 18:7, the city upon the hill? It is the Pope in Rome heading the World Council of Churches. The world and the church will have one voice, as in Revelation 17:12-18. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. Now that could be a dictator or anything else. They have one mind and shall give their power and strength to the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb. The Lamb will overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and so on. And he said to me, the waters that you saw where the horse sits are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. He's everywhere. And the ten horns which you saw upon the beast shall hate the whore, and shall make her flesh, make her destined naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will. In other words, at the end time there's going to be a complete upheaval. A complete upheaval. The whole war is going to be saturated in blood and terrible conditions. Anyway, right down the line. Look at this world leader and his world. You can see what it'd be like as you read again in Revelation 13. I won't take time. The prophet made no mistake. Man's laws are made for men, yet spoken as from God, exactly as the serpent said to Eve. God's word is entirely set aside. Roman error reached the Roman error, which was the first organized church that fell, that had the wrong doctrine, reached Corinth, where Paul addressed them in Second Corinthians 11 chapter in 60 A.D. So it reached them in 60 A.D., which was, and Paul wrote to the Romans, which was less than 7 years, as I can figure the time. Now, if it went from the error from the church in just a few years, and then it caught on as a world organization in 325 A.D., what's it going to be like in 1991, when there's another Jesus, another Spirit, and another Word? You've got nothing left. It's all man. Now, I can tell you, man let the devil change just one word. Now there is no word that is not changed. And with the Word of God set aside, there is no true worship. For John 6 still holds the truth. They that worship me must worship in spirit and in truth. And there is no grace without the truth, because Jesus said, it was said concerning him, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. It is also said, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. He never said that he was any other thing. He didn't say he was grace. It came by him. But he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and grace comes by. So how can you have grace without these other things that are very pertinent? As it says in John 3:16, he loved the world. But this is the condemnation that is in the world today because they did not receive the word of God. Now you got that in John 3:16, 17, 18. The only bride today is one completely delivered up to the word, as the word was completely delivered to her. Let me read that again. The only bride today is one completely delivered up to the Word, as the Word was completely delivered to her. Now that's your passive faith. You will never live it. You haven't got the ability to live it. Now you can do your best and we better do our best. But the key is believing it. As Paul was apprehended, listen, as Paul was apprehended, and he apprehended what he was apprehended for, he claimed it, didn't get it, we are today. God is pure God. As God is pure God, as He's pure God, He's pure Word. So must be the bride, because she comes from God, and she must be Word piled upon Word to make be in the bride, and she must have Word piled upon Word to be in His image. There is one message today in the church, and that is repent. Let the other churches sing, turn your eyes upon Jesus and worship a wrong Jesus. The message of this church and the song in this church is only believe. The vindicated Word brought by the presence of the vindicator. There is no doubt that time has run out. The new world order has stepped forward and is in place in the Middle East right now. And the world has determined, and the Pope has concurred, that he must be crushed. Now, Bush has spoken out. Let the world say it is Zionism. Say what they want. Zionism was used, and Brother Branham said, to establish Israel, and it was a god. Zionism is no doubt running its course here in America and the world, and it will, before it is over, establish the Pope, because the Jews are nothing compared to Rome. How many bombs they got, how big they are, and how they can do it, mess the poor Arabs up in these, do what they want. But you let us smart off against us guys, we'll wipe them out, and I mean wipe them out. So don't worry about the Jews. They got their part to play, they're playing it. Forget it. The Antichrist is not a Jew. That's a stupid story written by a guy named Sidney Watson, Scarlet and Purple, and the Antichrist, things like that. I read it nice years ago. It's off the market for years. A bunch of tripe anyway. Even the Jews believe there'll be an Antichrist. They'll somehow make him. But I'm going to tell you, the Word of God by vindicated prophet told exactly what the score is, what it is all about. And the world order has now begun, the one world government. And Bush has spoken it. That's the one thing he's living for. He doesn't care two bits about your economy here. You want to know what he thinks about the economy? Did you hear about this guy that nobody understood how he had a shot at Barron? I read the article, and they call him a young genius. How did he know that Barron was the place to go? You know the little part over there, one of those Emirates? And it's loaded with oil, and he's going to make billions. But you know who's behind it? Bush's son is in there. Bush's wife's brother was the guy that brought all the trouble on Hutton. Wrote those checks. He didn't go to jail though, did he? Come on. It's over. It's over. I read you in Colossians. I showed you. There's nothing left of the Word of God anymore except in a bride. You've got one thing left. Judgment, judgment, judgment. And man has in his heart to do it. He will do it until God stops it. That happened the time of the flood. It's flood time again. Man's word for man. And God goes right by. I haven't got time. This church has no time for man's word. Got time for only one thing, the Word of God. So let's stay behind it. I said, look, I can't live it. You never live it. There's nobody going to live it. Brother Branham himself couldn't do it. He stepped outside the door and lied. No big deal. I could stay inside the door and lie. I'll be honest with you. You're not looking at some virtuoso up here, some great virtuous person. No. But I'm telling you the truth. You might never live it. It's only Christ in you can live it. Right. Only one man ever lived it. He wasn't the Word. He died and gave us his life. But you and I believe it. I believe that. They turn it down. I believe that. I believe the Word. Say, Brother Vail, you believe it? Yep. I might not believe it all right, but I believe it just the same. By the help of God, He'll help me. If I'm not supposed to know, I won't know. Let's rise and be dismissed. No meeting on Wednesday. Friday night, I think Bob is coming to help. Anybody can help. Heavenly Father, as we go our way, we want to thank you for the time we had together here. And we sure don't want man's word, Lord. I've told the people many times, I don't want my word. I don't want my thoughts. I know I'm stuck with them because I got to use them here in the world. But Lord, I don't need to use them in relationship to you as though I got something to tell you. I don't have anything to tell you, Lord, but you have plenty to tell me. And may I now, Lord, be fully apprehended myself of what I am apprehending in every person in this building, so he might be one to come to that place where Brother Branham said, now is that hour that Brother Branham spoke of in several places, that we would be one. In that day, we know we're in the Father, and the Father in us, and we in Him. This is that day, Lord. Perhaps don't understand it, but we know it's true. He said so. And if that's what this word says, then that's the way it is. We have no argument, none at all. Let every mouth be dumb, every mouth be silent before Him who is here today. Now, Lord, again, we turn to Your message. Humbly asking again that Your message heal every one of us, Lord. Bring us into a place of strength, not to be used for ourselves, a power not for ourselves, a blessing not for ourselves, though we're going to have some, but we don't realize it's just a blessing to get a blessing, but to be a blessing for others, to be a lighthouse, to be something for others, thereby loving You and serving You. Fully dedicated, right back to the Scripture and its perfect fulfillment of this hour. Oh God, what a great thing to know it is true. It is true, because it's vindicated. There's no other vindication out there. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ. And may it be worked out in our lives eternally. In Jesus' name, amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.